agreed to do this was for Folk Life Days. And, of course, I live on the Suwannee River. I was born about 30 miles up the Suwannee River, about halfway between here and the Okie Finoka Swamp. And I've lived here ever since we moved to White Springs, or near White Springs. I'm a farmer by trade. I'm one of these almost, extinct things. I'm endangered species anyway. A small farmer especially. But I've lived here and went to school here, graduated from high school, and I was sitting back here in the audience enjoying this music and listening to them talking about how the Folk Festival started years ago and how it was. And I could remember it so well, and what a great time we had and we've had every year. My mother, Nancy Morgan, she's never missed a Folk Festival since it started. And I'm not sure if she's going to make it this year. She's not doing too well, but we're going to try to get her down here maybe this afternoon or tomorrow. But anyhow, I started doing this, and when they asked me to come and talk to the people and show them, he wanted me to talk to them, tell them stories and folk life stories and things like that. And I was driving the tractor. I agreed to do it, and then I got to driving the tractor a day or two after that, and I said, what in the world made me agree to that? I've never talked to a group in my life. But anyway, when you drive a tractor, you have a little time to think. So I kind of considered what I was doing, and I said, well, I'm not going to – they wanted me to come and talk about traditional farming too, you know, and I had a brainstorm. I had one of these light bulb ideas, you know, on that tractor. My son works for Florida Farm Bureau, and he knows all these statistics and things about farming. And I said, I'll get Kevin, and he can tell the people and the young people, mostly what we were talking to, and he can tell them about farming, and I'll tell them some of the things that we used to do when I was a boy, and, you know, some of the fun things. So that caused me to start reflecting back and remembering, which I had never done, and it was the best thing that could have ever happened to me, because I've reflected back on my life, and I've come to know just what a blessing I've had. You know, it's just been a really great life. But one of the things, I picked this up at Walmart. These are my tools, and I picked them up this morning at Walmart. And everybody knows what this is. In fact, this thing about water witching, this still goes on around in this part of the country. This is one of the things that, you know, we used to have shallow wells, the only kind of wells we had around here. We didn't have deep wells years ago. And I don't know about the water under the earth somewhere else, but in this part of the country, I know about what it is. I can't see it, but I can imagine it. There's water all underneath this ground, and it probably is everywhere else. But in some places that water is in sand, you know, probably pretty white sand. And in some places there's a stream running. We have underground streams probably larger than the Suwannee River under this water. Maybe one right where we're standing, you know, you don't know. But the idea for this thing, you can get water anywhere. You can put a pump down. In our case, we take a galvanized pipe and we drive it down in the ground and sink it into the clay. And when we sink it into the clay, that cuts off all the top water and all the things that might be dirty or anything. And then we take a homemade bit auger, a wood auger, and weld it to or braze it to a half inch, in our case, a half inch galvanized pipe. And we drill through that clay. And this is hand labor. This is work. In my case, it was really work. My daddy had an artificial leg, and he and I, we were doing the work. Daddy was doing the you do this and you do that, most of it. But anyway, when you drill, you get about 6-inch core clay up each time. And sometimes that clay is 2 feet deep, and sometimes it's 20 feet deep. But whenever you get through that clay, you'll usually hit sand and you'll hit water. Now, if you hit running water, usually that drill that you've got in your hand, when you drill through that clay, there'll be an opening there and that thing will drop. And you'll find a stream of water, and it'll be good and cool, and that's what you're hunting. So supposedly that's what this thing's for, not to find water, but to find a running stream of water. Now, they do it. People do it a lot of ways. They use coat hangers and metal. I don't know. There's lots of different ways they do it. But this is the way that we did it. When I was a boy, and still some people do this. Now, I'm not advocating this, and I'm not saying this is right, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I don't know if it really happens or if it doesn't happen. But I know there's a lot of things that we don't understand on this earth, and we never will understand. But I haven't tried it through marble. I don't know if it'll work through marble or not. I'm usually on the ground, but I'm going to try this thing here and see what it does. And if we have any doubters or any believers, I want to know about it. And then if I've got time, I'm going to tell one story. Now, everybody can see me. Now, Miss Marie, you've seen this before, I know. The idea is to hold this thing. Now, when it goes, when I'm going to walk with this. And when I'm walking, if I go over a stream of water, this is supposed to turn down, and I'm supposed to hold it to keep it from turning down. So I'm going to head that direction. And you watch me and see if I cause it to turn or if anything causes it to turn. I don't know if there's anything here or not. That's the mark that is a spot right there. Who believes that? Who don't believe it? Have I got time to drill this well?
Ain't got a hard rock drill.
Let me back up a little. Who wants to be my other hand? Which one, where was that doubter at? Come here, son. You mighty low, but we're going to try. Now you stand right up here by me. I usually pick a pretty woman for this, but you're going to do it. We're going to be real close now. You take your left hand, dude. Put your thumb up about this. Let's try not to break our stick. Now put you into your tummy like that. Now let's make this stick flip up now. Make it flip up just like that. You got it? Mm-hmm. All right. Wait just a minute. You got to put your thumb on it. You got it. Wait, listen, it's going to hit us in the face if it turns. Now you better let it go. Okay. Let's walk and see. If it turns, now you tell me. Is it turning?
Yeah.
Here, just a minute. I made this while I was sitting in the audience out there. My dad taught me how to make these. And like I said, I'm going to be doing a workshop up at the Museum Garden, too. It's a yellow and white tent. Stick your hand in there, son. That's another one of the things I thought of while I was driving that tractor that my daddy taught me. It was made out of palmetto fans. I'll give everybody a chance to try this if y'all are interested in it. When you come to the museum at 2:00, I'll be there and I'll have my granddaughters with me. And my sister's going to be there and she'll be doing some things with palmettos, hats, and that sort of thing. And I've got just a few minutes. This is I brought this one because this is the smallest one I had. How much I got?
I'll check.
All right, okay. All right, I want to tell a story if I can. I brought this one because I had to bring it. I got some more larger ones. This is not the size that we used when I was a boy, but when I was a boy, I made these traps. You can stay up here and hit me just a minute if you want to. Get that seat right there. I want to tell a story and I want you to hit it right there. I made these traps. Daddy taught me how to make these traps out of pieces of old fat-lighted rail fence that we had. We didn't have a wire fence on our place. And a lot of you are old enough, I can tell, that knows that. And we didn't waste anything. If we didn't burn them in the fireplace, we split them up and made things. And this is split up. It's split pieces of fat-lighted fence. I still have some of those rail. This is wired together. The bottom stick is pressured to the top stick and wired down, and that's all it's holding. There's no glue or anything there. Let me see. Where can y'all see? Right here. And this is, I would have some of these when I was a boy, and I would catch quail with them. And my mama would cook them. And when I came in from school, I'd leave them set that day. And when I came in from school, I would run to my traps to see if I had birds. And, of course, this is not a good place to set it. It's on the ground usually, but I hope y'all can see this. I call this a figure four treadle. I whittle these treadles out with my knife, just like Daddy taught me. And why do I call it a figure four treadle? It looks like a figure four, doesn't it? Doesn't that look like a figure?
This part right here.
That's the treadle part. Okay. Now what I would do, I would have these traps set. Now this is a larger one, and I can really show you when y'all come at 2 o'clock. I put bait under there. In my case, I'd use dry peas because that wouldn't attract the red birds and things as much. The quail like dry peas, and they wasn't as noticeable for other non-game birds. So quail run in a covey, and everybody knows what quail are. They're good to eat. All of you know what quail is. They are good to eat. Well, what would happen, and if my mouth's not too dry, I'll try to sound like one, but they run in coves, and I'd have me a little trail of feed out here, and that first old rooster, he'd run there, and he'd hit that thing, and he'd run in there, and find all that water feed, and he'd say, never mind. He'd say, and you could tell he was old and starved. Anyway, he would run in there, and then they would all run in there, 4 or 5 run in there, and first thing you know, want to jump on that treadle, and I would have me some birds. Now, this is on the ground. Let's imagine a little bit. This is on the ground in the field. And before you say, I got to get them out, and I'm going to ask you how to get them out. But now I'm in the field, and I've got my straw hat on, my overalls, and no shoes, no knife, no gun, no pistol, no nothing. I've got to get these 4 birds out of this trap because Mama's going to cook them for supper. How do I get them out of there? And I don't say jugging with a stick or pick up the trap because you know what's going to happen. Well, they're going to fly out. Quick, quick, quick. And I tell the young people, I said, you're supposed to reason. You're supposed to know this. And the adult groups that I've talked to, they've been just like the young people. They don't know either. And it's so, so easy and simple. And if you were hungry and were in the field like I was, and not, what is it? Come up here, honey. Do you know how to get it out? Well, just tell me how to get it out. No, slide something under it. I haven't got anything. We got to hurry. So what you do, this is dirt. So you dig you a little hole there and reach under there and pull them out one at a time and wring their little necks and take them to Mama. I knew you would like that. But you got to kill them if you're going to eat them. I want to. They outlawed these. I hope we don't have a game warden in the crowd. Hey, sir. Yes, sir. In fact, I've got a cup. I brought this one up here because it was light and I could carry it easier. I've got them in my truck down at the workshop area there at the museum, and I'll be letting the kids be able to build one of their own. I've got some materials there that you can work with your hands, and I'll show you how to build them. And you know, it's. Well, I'm planning on a fun thing, and I hope some of y'all can come at 2 o'clock. I want to, if I've got a few more minutes, I got a couple of stories, and I'm not smart enough to make up a story, so you know whatever I tell you has got to be the truth. You know, I thought about some of the things that had happened to me, and like I told you, I realized how blessed I was, and still am, by the way. I grew up plowing a mule when I was 9 years old, and if you'd have told me that I could be driving a 125 horsepower tractor with an air conditioner and a cab and a stereo and everything else in it, I'd have said you was crazy. But it happened, but anyhow, when I was about 9 years old, we lived out in the Flatwoods, and this was a pond. There was a pond about 50 yards from our house, and at that time of year it was dry weather, and it was in the summertime, kind of dry like it is now. And a pond, when it's dry, the water goes at it and it's open in there. Well, there was a holler log in that pond. The end of it was holler. Well, my daddy smoked country gentleman cigarettes. Now you boys and girls listen to this. And the cigarette tobacco that he got came in a little cloth bag, it had a little drawstring on it. And he'd open up that drawstring, and he had a book of cigarette papers. You older people know what I'm talking about. And he would take he'd pull out one of those, he'd open that book of papers, and he'd take out one of those little cigarette papers about that wide and long. And he'd take it and lay it up there on his hand. He'd take that tobacco drawstring of that thing and open it up, and he'd shake some tobacco in that cigarette paper. And then he'd roll it, and I'd stand there or sit there, either whatever the case, and watch him. And I wanted to do that so bad. He made that look so good. So I decided one day that I would do it. Now, my mom and daddy trusted me, and they still do trust me. They, you know, I had the run of the farm. They didn't worry about me. They didn't ask me questions. I went and come like I pleased. So I stole some of daddy's cigarette tobacco and some matches and a book of those papers. Now, that's wrong. I stole right then. And I carried them down in that little hollow log. I hid them in the end of that little hollow log in that pond. And whenever I chose to, I knew they wasn't watching me, so I'd ease off down there, and I'd sit down on that log, and I'd get me out of some tobacco and paper, and I'd roll me a cigarette, and I'd pull it back and smoke that thing. But I didn't inhale. I like Bill Clinton. I didn't inhale. But I would smoke. Well, I did that for a day or two, and one day I walked to the house, and this was in the summertime, and I went into the living room, and we lived in an old farmhouse like everybody else did. All the yards were swept clean all the way around our farmhouse. There was no grass in it, and we had a living room. Now, this was summertime. We had a living room with an old open fireplace in it, and we burned this fat-lighted wood mostly in that fireplace. And it had bricks, you know, and everybody knows what a fireplace looks like. Well, we didn't have ours covered up, you know, to keep the smut out of the living room because we didn't have carpet on the floor. You could see the chickens through the cracks in the floor and stars through the ceiling at night is just about it. But anyway, Mom and Daddy were standing in that living room when I went to the house. And I walked in, and Daddy said, the first thing he said, "Son, where you been?" Well, right then something kind of clicked in my head because that was unusual. I says, "Nowhere, Daddy." He says, "Yes, you have. Where you been?" I says, "Nowhere." He says, "Son, you're telling me a story. Come up here just a minute. Stand right there. If you don't mind, hold your hat in hand. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to show you exactly what my daddy did to me." And this was back when I was 9 years old. I was born in 33, so y'all can do the math. Just take your hat off just a minute. Okay, I want to see that hair anyway. So Daddy was asking me, he says, "Where you been?" I says, "Nowhere." He says, "Yes, you have." I says, "No, I hadn't." He says, "You're telling me a story." I says, "No, I'm not." He says, "You've been smoking." I said, "Boy, I knew something was wrong then." I said, "No, I hadn't, Daddy." He said, "Yes, you have." Well, I didn't know it, but while he was talking to me, the whole time he's talking to me, I found this out later, he had his hands behind his back like this. And what he did, he backed up to that old smutty fireplace. He stuck one finger on one of those brick right there. Well, you know what came off on that finger. And he says, "Yes, you have. You've been telling me a story. You've been smoking." I said, "No, I haven't, Daddy." He says, "You're telling me a story, son, and you have stolen and you've been smoking." And I said, I don't know what made me say it, but I says, "No, I haven't. How do you know when I'm telling a story?" He says, "Because a black spot will come right there between your eyes every time you tell a story." I said, "No, it won't." He says, "Yes, it will." I said, "No, it won't." He says, "You got a black spot between your eyes now." I said, "No, I haven't." See, I knew that he didn't know that I was smoking, and I sure knew that there wasn't a black spot between my eyes. And he says, "You got a black spot between your eyes. There's your mama. Ask her." And I looked over at Mama, and she says, "Son, you have told a story, and you got a black spot between your eyes." And I knew something was wrong. Then I said, "Mama." And she says, "Go in and look in the bedroom." And we had an old mirror hanging on the wall. And she says, "Go and look in the mirror in the bedroom." And I walked in there. And I had the biggest black spot between my eyes. And somehow or another, they had caught me. And I didn't know how. I had been smoking and lying and stealing. And the moral of this story is, my mom and daddy still trust me. Of course, daddy's dead now. But the moral of this story is, if you do something wrong, young people, go right then and confess, get your punishment over with. I got beat bad with one finger that day. I'd rather have a whipping any time. But I never have lied again, and I never have smoked. Now, I mean to my mom and daddy now. I didn't say I never had lied, but I never have lied to my mom and daddy again. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I appreciate it, and if you feel like you can stand a little more of this, come on down at 2 o'clock, and we'll have a lot of fun because we'll interact with each other down there. Thank you.